Hello, everyone. Today, we are excited to bring Sydney Lotwako, who was a former member of Bachelor Nation and a podcaster. And I'm really excited to bring her on to explore this topic, which is career shifts. This is a topic that is near and dear to my heart because I certainly had one in my early 20s and it created massive mental health upheaval. But also, I think broadly, it's an important topic because this pandemic has created so many shifts in what we are able to do. And some jobs have been nearly wiped out for a time. I have a lot of friends on Broadway and musical theater, and I know, you know, from their perspective, it's been very, very painful to not be able to express themselves and do their art. And it can be a very, very confusing time. It can, you know, really sort of, you know, throw people for a loop in terms of their identity and who they, how they see themselves. And so I'm really glad Sydney is here to talk about her experience. So welcome, Sydney.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to chat.
Me too. So you are in Ohio now.
Yeah. So you mentioned the pandemic and how it changes things for people. I met my now fiance right at the beginning of the pandemic. We met in different states. I was in Virginia at the time, quarantining with my family, and he was living in Ohio. And we met via Instagram and started this relationship on FaceTime for 3 months. So it was a very wild meeting process, but I was taking chances, I guess, or I tend to do that with my life. And we just really built a strong, beautiful relationship over 3 months. So it ended up turning into me moving here in August of last year. I came here for a visit and thought I was going to stay for a month, but with the pandemic and the way the world was and just not making sense to go back to my apartment that I was paying for in LA, I just decided to move in. So yeah.
So you went from FaceTime relationship exclusively to then living together? The first time you met?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So we did 3 months on FaceTime, met initially in July, like June, July, hung out a little bit. And then I came back in August to Cincinnati and was going to stay for a month. And then we were going to fly me back to LA, but then it turned into him flying with me to LA to unpack my apartment and move cross country again to where I am now. So yeah.
I like how you just really went for it.
Yeah, I tend to do that. And I think with the pandemic, the theme of what I was doing is kind of just leaning into what was working, because a lot of things were not working and a lot of things weren't falling into place for me. And I'm sure many people out in the world. So I was just like, okay, what's working and what is making me happy right now? And it was this relationship. And I spent most of my life just focusing so much on career and putting all of my eggs in that basket where I was like, okay, well, this is really working and falling into place. And why not just put my focus there and all the other stuff will hopefully fall into place, which I think it somewhat has. But I mean, when you make huge transitions like that, naturally, you're going to go through some like mental stuff, which I definitely feel like I did. It's funny when it's when you're having so many like happy experiences mixed with like the mental thought process of like, what the heck am I doing? What is my job? Like all of the things that you kind of go through underneath the surface, which is a very interesting mix of feelings. So I definitely had a mixed bag of emotions during that whole time period.
And what were you doing in LA around that time? We know that you're a dancer, but in the pandemic, what were you up to? And
yeah. So pre-pandemic, I had just moved to Los Angeles. I moved there like 4 months, I think, before the pandemic hit. My plan to move out there. I was originally living in New York City and I was dancing and eventually I'd gone on The Bachelor. So like a lot of changes were happening in my life. And I realized during that time, I had lived in New York City for 9 years. I was like, I'm actually unhappy in New York. And I didn't realize that until I was removed from it, that it just wasn't working for me anymore. Like I loved my jobs there and the things that I was doing, my friends, but I was unhappy in the city. It takes a lot out of you. And after 9 years of living there, I just felt like, oh, I don't have to continue living here anymore. Like I don't have to keep feeling not happy in my living situation. So I was like, I'm going to take a chance after the show ends. I'm going to take a move. I've always thought about Los Angeles because usually the dance markets are LA and New York. So those are the two places where you kind of go. to try and make it. So I was like, I'm going to try out LA. We'll see what happens. So I moved there 4 months, like I said, before the pandemic, and I booked dancing for Bachelor Live on Stage, which was like a tour that we're taking all around the US. It was like a really awesome opportunity. And it was really nice how it blended my life with Bachelor and brought my life back with dance. So it was incredible. And then we had done it for like a month. We were touring around the US, and then the pandemic hit and the show ended and we were all forced back in our homes. And it was really like a trip, because I had finally found a place where I just felt like very at home. I just like loved what I was doing. I was able to like pull out all of the sides of myself, like the dance and the mix of this new world that I created with Bachelor. And then it just ended so abruptly. So I didn't really have time to wrap my head around that. And as I'm sure many of us were, we were forced back in our homes and forced to just think about our lives. And at that same time, it was interesting because I started that relationship with my now fiance. So there was like happy stuff getting me through, and I was spending more time with my family, and it was wonderful just to have that unique experience in quarantine. But then after a while, I just really started missing performing and dance and being with people, and that like artist side of myself was very much missing. And you can do a lot of things to try and cover up that almost hole that is in your heart. You can, like, I started podcasting then, which is has been a really beautiful experience and something I've always thought about doing and always been interested in, but there was still that part of me missing. So with that, I started trying to figure out what I was doing, and I just kept voicing this to my now fiance that I was just like, I don't know why I'm sad. Like, I'm so happy with our relationship and I'm so happy with like things that we're doing. And I know it's hard for me making these changes and moving in, but like everything generally is happy, but I still feel this like under layer of sadness because I just feel like something's missing and I don't know how to fix that. Like, I don't know, what to do with that. So I'm still working through that because I just feel like it's with performers, and I think athletes can relate to this as well, or people who have like really a lot of passion in their careers. It's hard when you don't have any way to do that, to fill that cup. And him and I related to this a lot because he had to end his football career really early. He had this crazy accident in college. So he could relate on that level. Like, I totally get the fact that what you're feeling, you just like, don't know who you are. It becomes your identity almost with those type of careers. Like, you just like, I'm a dancer. I do this. This is what I'm used to. These are the jobs I go after. So when that is removed, you're like, who am I? What am I? What's my purpose essentially? So I was battling with that a lot. So it was a lot of, like I said, ups and downs with my emotions. Cause on one point, like, I was so happy. There was so much greatness happening. But the other point, I was just like missing this whole part of myself. So yeah, I was going through it.
Yeah. It's interesting. A lot of people think like, oh, you know, taking a break from work would be amazing. Mm-hmm. And I hear this, especially from performers, that it's just so incredibly painful to be taken away from that. Is dancing something you're going to go back to?
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's like, you don't want to fully give up on your dreams, but then it's hard with a career like that. You like hope to have this beautiful retirement and to get to end on like a high and like do everything that you wanted to do and get every job that you wanted. And then you feel like you can end it, but it's not always like that. And I think, especially with the pandemic, you were forced to almost retire, early retire, or stop for now and then figure it out later. Because the things with that too, you have to keep up your physicality. You have to keep those things up, which is really hard to do when you're stuck inside. So I wouldn't say that part of my life is over, but I'm also not holding on to it as tightly as I was before. So I'm not sure. I'm always open to going back. Like, say if tour comes back and they ask me to do it, I would love to do something like that, just to almost end it the way I would want to end it, just to have like that last hurrah, I think, because I am 30 now. And I realize that the age for that is kind of, dwindling a little bit, just the way that lifestyle is. So yeah, it's not fully over for me, but I also am not in the point in my life where I'm trying to force it at anymore. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. You were talking about it. Like, this is part of your identity. This is a who you are, a sense of self. What tell us a little bit more about who that person is. Like, what do you miss that, you know, you can't really live out in your day-to-day life now?
Yeah. It's hard when something's been a part of your life for so long. Like, I started dancing at age 3 and it just becomes part of like your friendships and your lifestyle and just makes up your core of your life. So I think just from such a young age, it was always a part of my life. And what's funny with that is like, you have to give up a lot in order to keep that as a part of your life. I didn't go to a lot of birthdays. I didn't go to a lot of weddings. I didn't go to a lot of like family vacations. All of that was kind of taken away because so much of your focus and time is put into dance. So that it just becomes a regular part of your existence and you're just kind of used to that. And then you get to a point where it's like really your passion, which is what happened when I was in high school. So like figuring out what I was going to do for college, I was like, well, I'm not ready to give this up yet. I've spent all this time and energy in it. Like, why would I give that up? And as far as like how it feels as a part of my identity, it's just all I've really ever known. And all of the time and energy and effort that I put into this thing, it's really hard to give that up knowing all of the things that you put into it initially. So then pursuing it as a career, you go up and down with it because it's, for me, it's, personally, it wasn't like a straight track to success. I didn't get my first job just graduating college. Like, it took a lot for me. I had a lot of ups and downs with it. Auditioning was really hard for me because that in and of itself takes a lot out of your mental health because it's, think of it constantly as like a job interview every single day where you're putting your outfit on, you're going to sit in an audition room with like 50 other girls that look like you, and you're hoping you get this one part that might not even be available at this moment. So it's a lot of just like putting yourself out there with not a lot of rewards. You have to really love it and you have to really believe in yourself, which is a good habit to have, but also really can take a lot out of you when you're not feeling like you're being successful. So, and then I booked dancing for the Knicks a few years after college. And that was also a mental health trip for me. I had actually made it to the end of that audition and I didn't make it. And I was devastated. Like, I, at that point I was ready to quit. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I've given it my all. I'm over this. Like, this is, it's just not worth it to me anymore. I ended up where I actually ended up booking that job later on just because someone had to quit. So that was like a weird story, but so yeah, there's a lot of ups and downs with it. And because you've put so much time and energy and effort and hours and passion behind it, it's really hard to give it up, especially knowing that after all those years. And then when you get to a job that you feel like, oh, this is why I waited. This is why all of those no's happened. This is why I stuck it out. And then for that to get taken away from you is really, really difficult. So it's, I don't know, personally, it's hard for me to just say I'm never doing it again, just because, again, all of that I put into it. So it, when it's removed, it does feel like a part of you is missing because it's just been so much effort that you put into it. I don't know if that's fully making sense, but just so much that goes into just, it's not just a job. It's like your whole life essentially leading up into that point. So yeah.
Sounds like a ton of effort and sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you have to sacrifice so much for something, then of course that feels like that's you now. I mean, that's what you've been prioritizing. It's, mm-hmm. It's been the value that, you know, has carried you through.
Yeah.
What has been your process of kind of losing that identity or putting that identity on hold and, you know, having to bolster the rest of yourself?
Yeah. So going back to the pandemic and me feeling like sad all the time, not really understanding what that was. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize until it was removed that I had made dance and my career so much of my identity, which I've learned is not a great thing to do because life changed and things ebbs and flow. And you can't hold on to something like that. Like, myself is Sydney and I am just a person and I have all these things that I represent, but it doesn't mean I am only valuable because of my career or I'm only valuable because I'm a dancer, which mm-hmm. I think for a lot of my life, that's what I was mentally thinking, whether I realized it or not. And it took it being removed for me to realize that I was putting so much value on my career. So then I had to mentally wrap my head around why did that for so long? And how do I move forward knowing that it is not my identity and it can't be my identity for the foreseeable future? Like, how do I find value in myself and what I'm doing without that part of me to almost push to the forefront? So I was sad a lot and I felt like something was missing. So I ended up seeking out a therapist. I actually used BetterHelp. It was like advertised to me and I'd done a collaboration with them and I was like, I'm going to try this out and see if this works for me. Cause I never really sought out a therapist before. The only time I had seen a counselor was in my first year of college where I was just like struggling with changes. So I was like, I'll try this out, see if she can help me in any way and see how this goes. And I remember the first call that we had, I just like cried for 30 minutes. And I was like, why am I crying? And I felt bad because I wanted to explain who I was and all these things. But she just asked me one question about my career and I just started bawling. So clearly there was a lot of things that I was holding on to with that. And it was hard for me to kind of figure out what was going on. But she helped me realize that basically what was going on was I was experiencing almost like a death with my dance career ending. Like it was the same feeling as going through a mourning process, which is very difficult for anyone to do in mourning anything, but I didn't realize the two could be the same. So when she helped me realize that, it just made so much more sense why I was feeling the way I was feeling and why I felt like almost a little piece of me was gone. I'm still working through that. It's better to know what you're kind of going through to kind of understand where your emotions are coming from, but in no way am I fully like healed from it. I still miss that part of myself and I'm still trying to figure out where, like what I want to do moving forward career-wise, but it was at least helpful to understand where my emotions were, are coming from at least. But yeah.
I love how you frame it as a mourning and grief process. Cause I know that, you know, we've talked before about how most people think it's like a loss of a person or a thing or, you know, something tangible, but a loss of your identity. You know, people shift to like different stages of their life or things like that can be, it can have a lot of grief to it, but people aren't aware of it because something else exciting is happening. You know, did you ever, find out the answer to that question of, why did I put so much of myself into my career and why do I find value in that?
I just think I always had a lot of pressure on myself. And I think because of my parents and my family putting so much of their selves into my career and like helping me along the way and supporting me this whole time, I felt the pressure of all of that, plus the pressure I put on myself, plus like the pressure of not failing. I think that was all wrapped into a bow and why I like held on to it so tightly. So then I just made that my value. I think because of just, I learned things growing up, like if I did well, or if I got an award in dance, or if I got a good grade, I was seen or I was given compliments or I was, you know, felt like I had value. And I think I just continued doing that throughout my life. I was like, okay, if I do things that make me successful, I am valuable, which can get you a lot of things in life and can get you to like a great place in your career. But it's also not great when, again, that thing is removed and you have to figure out like, how am I valuable as me instead of how am I valuable as the things that I accomplish? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that was what created that in my mind at least. And it is subconscious, a lot of it. Like I didn't realize I was doing this so much until it was removed. So
yeah. I think that's great. How have you, like, what have you shifted to valuing now? Has there been a shift in that, or has it just been kind of the removal of?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of it just like me being forced to look at this and doing and that with like some self-work of just being like, okay, I am valuable. And how can I see myself as valuable today without all of these extra things? Like, how am I just valuable within who I am and what I have to offer to the world? That's not like my skill set and the things I can accomplish. It's just like, how am I valuable as myself fully? So it's been just like a lot of self-work and just, you know, trying to find ways to fill my cup in that part of me that feels missing. So like I said, like podcasting or still being creative and finding those ways to keep that like artist part of myself alive, without it looking the same as it always looked in my past with dance or performing. So yeah, that's what I'm currently working on.
How does, you mentioned, especially identity has so much to do with our relationships, right? And you're mentioning mm-hmm. that like, your parents seem to be involved and the way you, you know, like in, like went to birthday parties and interacted with friends growing up. How mm-hmm. have people responded to this huge career shift or even just like the idea that you might not be a dancer? Like how do your parents yeah. or family or fiance respond?
Everyone else is fine with it. I think my dad is the one that's always been like, I always called him my stage mom, but he's my dad. And he just always is so focused on career. And that was just been the way that he was raised, like to always focus on that. And I think he put a lot of that pressure on me. So I think he, of all people, will definitely take it the hardest. And I've been trying to, you know, voice these things to him and explain to him, like, I can't do this. I'm not going to be able to do this forever. And I mean, my career is not everything. And I would love to talk to you about other things than just what am I doing for my career? Like, how am I moving myself forward? And like how all of these things. So that I think that is hard for him to take in just because I think he got a lot of like happiness from seeing me be successful or performing or those things. So to know that I'm not doing that anymore, I think is really hard for him. So it's hard for me to like know that in myself and know that in a way I could be disappointing him. Hmm. But like my fiance is super supportive and so is my family and so is my dad. I just think it's deep down, it's like difficult for him. And I think because my fiance can really relate to so much of what I'm going through to what he has gone through in the past, we have that like level of understanding. But I know, I think it's interesting though, too, because with how careers continue to shift, like this thing will probably continue to come up for me as I shift careers in life. I think it's just always something that I'm going to go through and something that I'm always going to kind of revert back to, especially when I'm going through changes. That seems to be when it really seems the most raw for me is when I'm going through those transitions and shifts. So I know this is not going to be like a one thing fix all for me. It's just going to be kind of one of those things that I go through. And I think that's perfectly okay.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it will be, but you sound incredibly grounded and like you've really processed as well. So hopefully that's at least a buffer against the pain of transitioning careers.
Yeah. I think it just goes back to like, how do I fill that cup up? Like I know that that cup will always be there like that. I don't think I can fully delete that cup from me, like that artist side of myself. Like, I think I always have to find a way to fill that up, whatever that is. But I think what's beautiful about it, it's opened my eyes and my mind to other options and other possibilities of what that could be. Mm-hmm. So right now my focus is the podcast and I really do get a lot of joy out of it. And I've always loved podcasts and I've always loved learning. And I think what's great about it is it's helped me to find something else that's not dance and that's not me seeking out a job. It's more of like me creating something for myself and something that hopefully can bring me into a career space. So that's my focus right now. Besides that, I love random collaborations that I get to do. I actually find a lot of joy in doing that and being creative in that way. So right now my focus is finding ways to be creative and how I can continue to feel fulfilled without making that my full identity, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So yes.
Tell us about the podcast.
Yeah. So my podcast is called Something to Share. Actually it's my third iteration of a podcast. So it took me a while to get here, but I feel like it's finally in a place that feels like the most me. I've always felt like they are something that I could put on and feel like connected in a way or hear something that I needed to hear for that day. And I wanted to do that for other people. So I like to have on really incredible guests, entrepreneurs, people from reality TV, and people with just really interesting stories that can hope to inspire people in their day or feel like they learned something or just feel like they had heard something on that episode that they can take into their life to make their day or their week a little bit better. So that's my goal with it. And that's how it's been going so far. So yeah, we have episodes every Wednesday and it's been super fun.
Oh, can't wait to listen.
Yeah.
Take us back to, you mentioned both the Knicks and Bachelor Nation, and it's mm-hmm. funny because like now you're in a place where you could create something of your own and be your own boss and create something new. And, but you came from these two institutions, right? Yeah. Where they definitely hired you.
Yeah.
What was it like? I don't want to say that this is like the ebbs and flows. I don't want to call it like highs and lows, but those yeah. sound like really intense parts of your career that you kind of moving away from.
Yeah.
What was that? What were those like?
Yeah. So it's funny. I've always had this mix of like really highs and a lot of lows mixed in with all of the things. So even just the start of my career with the Knicks, like I had mentioned a little bit earlier, I'd gone through a complete devastation. And then within a week later, I remember I'd emailed the coach about trying to get feedback because I was ready to quit. I was over this, but I was like, okay, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to pick myself back up and I'm going to ask for feedback. So when I go back next year, I know what I can do to be better. When I emailed her, she was like, actually, something really interesting happened. A girl that was from the team last year can't do the season. We'd actually really like to hire you. But she didn't give me any feedback. She just hired me on the spot. So it was a very interesting catch 22 story, but I ended up being on the team the same season where I got kicked up, like I got cut. So doing the team was incredible, but I always in the back of my mind, because of the way that I made the team, I felt like I wasn't worthy of being there. And I think I spent my entire first season like feeling like that. So I mentioned to you guys at this beginning, but like my hair was falling out. I got very thin. I think mentally I was just felt like not worthy of the position, even though I'd earned it and I'd been there and I knew I was worthy of it, but I think I just always had doubt in the back of my mind, which really had a strong effect on my mental health. Like I would wake up every day of rehearsal with so much anxiety and stress. Like I could feel it on my chest from the second I woke up. I knew it was a Monday or Wednesday. So like, it's weird when you're going through something that's so incredible and something that you work so hard for and something that you've always wanted to do and you finally get there. But then in the back of your mind, you're like, I don't deserve this. And you're just like counting yourself out and almost self-sabotaging the entire time. So I went through that almost the whole first season like that. And then once I made the team again the next year, I finally felt like, okay, I earned this. I deserve this, which I should have just done from the beginning, but mentally I just couldn't do that to myself. So if I would have from the beginning, I feel like I would have been in a much healthier place with this. The second season I loved, I had an amazing time. And it was like great to not feel like they call them rookies and vets. I was finally a vet. Like I finally felt like I earned my position. So that was great. And then by the third season, I made the team again, which is when Bachelor came into the picture. So at the end of that process, I made the team and I'd gone through the Bachelor audition. And when it came to the end of the audition process, I had to tell the Knicks what I was doing and the potential of me going on the show. And then they came back and were like, okay, well, you can do the show, but you can't come back and be on the team if you do. So essentially you have to quit doing the team if you're going to do the show. So I was like, cool. So it was a really hard thing because like I'd worked so hard for it and I cared so much about it, but then I wanted to give myself the due diligence and like take this opportunity if it came to me. And obviously it did end up coming to me. And then I had to make a decision of quitting my job in like a matter of days while packing for the show. So I had a full like really exciting thing, but a full mental breakdown all in the same little packaged bow. So I was going through a lot internally, but I went on the show and I mean, I had a great time in the process. I really enjoyed my time there and I felt like I made the right decision by going on the show because of all the things that had come from it afterwards. So after the show and after I'd left my season, I was on Colton's season. The first thing I did was I opened my phone when I got off the plane and I went on Instagram, which I know you're not supposed to do, but I did. And it was the night, like opening night of the basketball season for the Knicks. And the first thing I saw was the photo of my teammates, like all the dancers with me photoshopped out of the photo. Oh, so God. I was originally in the photo. So that was like another stab in the heart. So it was just like a lot of ups and downs. I just think I just had to stay really strong through that time because it was like, I was experiencing such high highs, but also like these lows that were kind of underneath the surface. So yeah, it was like a great, both great opportunities and both incredible, but yeah, it took some damage on my heart, some of it. So yeah.
I was in a similar place where I cut a deal with my boss to let me go on for a month and then I'd come back or lose my job. So at least I had
yeah,
a little bit more like agency in that. It, mm-hmm. I can't imagine the anxiety of having to quit your job for that kind of chance.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just praying that I would make it past the first night. Cause even if I had gone for just the first night and come back, I couldn't have done the team. So I was just praying that I at least was able to stay there long enough to make it worth it, which I think I was. So thankfully that worked out, but yeah, it was definitely a big chance.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about sacrifice. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. This is a total, digression, but how was your life after the Bachelor? How did the Bachelor sit with you?
It's such a complicated experience, right? And I'm sure you understand that, but I like learned so much about myself, and my hope for going on the show was that I was going to be able to focus so much on my love life because I put so much focus on my career. Mm-hmm. And because of my situation and who my Bachelor was, I really did not connect with him at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a nice guy. It's just like everything that I had with him was very surface level. So that was very frustrating because I finally felt like, okay, this is my time to grow in the love department. I actually never had a boyfriend before the show. So like this whole thing was like my personal deep dive into relationships, or at least I saw it like that, but
yeah,
I didn't feel like I gained that. So that felt like a little bit of a loss for me. But I mean, I gained like great friendships, and I think I did grow a lot as a human being. And I think just that huge sacrifice that I made helped me to realize that I can make like really hard decisions and I can really do scary things and I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Like things will somehow fall into place. Mm-hmm. Which is how I actually met my fiance, is because he watched me on the show. So I think there's like all this positive stuff that had come from it in a really roundabout way. But yeah, I think the experience is very a mixed bag of emotions for sure.
Yeah. I love how it did result actually in a deep dive in your love life, just not in the way you expected.
Not exactly. Not in how I planned, but it sure. Yeah. I definitely got there in the end.
Yeah.
Did you learn anything about relationships or yourself in that process? I mean, it's like, it's interesting that you were so career focused and then mm-hmm. switched to like, I'm really doing the love thing in a very big way.
I know. It's funny how it seems that the patterns I've had, I've been like so focused in one area. I like put all my energy there, and then almost the other area has to make a dip. I would love to find a way, which I think I'm working on right now, is to keep them both like on the same level and keep them connected, because I think they can be. Like I said earlier, I just think I learned how strong I am and can be, especially in really hard situations. And also realizing like, even though things are great, and things like really awesome opportunities are going to happen, I'm still going to have layers of anxiety and, things I'm going to go through mentally. Cause I mean, with that show, you're just constantly on edge, especially while filming. Like, you're just like, am I going home tonight? Am I going to say the wrong thing? Am I going to make a fool of myself? Am I going to get any sleep tonight? Like, there's so much going on with that process, even though it's like really exciting, really fun, but there's like always an under layer of anxiety, at least for me, for the whole time. So yeah, I just think trusting myself is what I've learned. Even when it doesn't seem like the easiest option, just trusting my guts in how I'm going to do things and how I'm going to make decisions.
I love that. I remember what The Bachelor changed for me was that I suddenly saw myself as a really bold person.
Yeah.
Courageous, bold, I go for what I want. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I had really conceptualized myself that way before, but going on something that is so scary and so big really does create that shift. So
yeah, it's a make or break.
Cool. I also love what you're highlighting with these career shifts. There's a lot of losses there, but it's mm-hmm. a lot of almost just transformations. I mean, this is kind of, you know, what I was thinking about with grief of just losing somebody or something else, where mm-hmm. you feel the loss of the thing you really cared about, but sometimes it morphs or transforms into like another thing in your life. Mm-hmm. And you've taken the boldness and the dedication in, you know, like going into really intense situations, like full force. And it's there's like the creativity there. There's like this, like learning about yourself and trusting yourself. So there's like mm-hmm. similar qualities or values that have gone through all these different stages. And while you're losing something, you're always discovering a new part of you. So that's really cool.
Yeah. It's like a metamorphosis. Yeah. I mean, I would love to have an experience where it just like flows into the next and I don't have to like throw up everything in my life. Mm-hmm. So far, that's not been the case, but I at least know from experience that I'm able to do that and I'll be okay. Even though it's not exactly what I thought it was going to end up being, I'm still going to figure it out and it's still going to fall into place somehow. So it's nice in a way to have those examples from my past to kind of lean on when I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get through this change, or I don't know if this is going to, if I'm going to figure it out, but if I can use the past as like an example of, yes, I can. And these are the reasons why I've done it in the past. I can do it again. That's been helpful for me. Especially when it gets to be like a lot of emotions involved, to kind of refer back to that earlier part of myself. Mm-hmm.
It's just so, this is like where we want to get our patients when we do therapy, you know, is this idea of like, yeah, bad things will happen, but can you trust yourself?
Yeah. I feel like I just went through a little bit of a therapy with you guys. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Kibby, do you have anything else?
No, anything that, you know, just basically anything she wants to plug or any resources or things like that.
Yeah. Okay. So let me, okay. All right. Well, Sydney, it was awesome having you on. As I said, this is a topic I'm fairly passionate about. My experience was going from a career I hated to going to a career I loved. So it's, it's, you know, it's different from the grieving process you're talking about, but I just think that is so relevant to what so many people are going through right now. Before we sign off, where can people find you? And again, anything else you want to say about your podcast?
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, we have podcast episodes every Wednesday. It's probably people that you recognize from TV or CEOs, things like that. So my podcast is Something to Share. And my Instagram is Sydney Lotuaco, Lotuaco. I'm also kind of on TikTok and kind of on YouTube, but we'll figure it out. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on.
By accessing this podcast, I acknowledge that the hosts of this podcast make no warranty, guarantee, or representation as to the accuracy or sufficiency of the information featured in this podcast. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast and any and all content or services available on or through this podcast are provided for general, non-commercial informational purposes only and do not constitute the practice of medical or any other professional judgment, advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and should not be considered or used as a substitute for the independent professional judgment, advice, diagnosis, or treatment of a duly licensed and qualified healthcare provider. In case of a medical emergency, you should immediately call 911. The hosts do not endorse, approve, recommend, or certify any information, product, process, service, or organization presented or mentioned in this podcast, and information from this podcast should not be referenced in any way to imply such approval.